increases life wherever he goes. I thank you for the ability to break into places of captivity, fear, hurt, wounds, loss, death, and destruction. Nothing intimidates you. Nothing keeps you. You're so able. And so we worship you with who we are, where we are, and what we are, because we know who you are and where you are and what you are. You are the resurrection and the life, Jesus. Nothing stops you from accessing what you want to touch. And you want to touch us. So, Lord, we welcome you. We open our hearts to be touched by you and to receive what you have for us and be big, fat, happy sheep. Oh, it's an old saying we have many times. We've tried to recover lost ground. We try to get everybody happy again. Instead of being lean and mean, you know. It's okay to be lean, but you don't want to be mean. All right, so John 6. I know I don't have as much time as usual. So, but this is really a good word. Really, a really good word. You'll like it. John 4. John 5. John 5. I'm going to read it up there. No, I'm not. Okay. I'll read it right here. I'm going to learn to read up there. That's my new thing. I'm going to learn to read on the screen. But it's not up there. Oh! All right. Good job, Kim. Verse 24. Oh, Lord, we love you. 227. All right. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but is passed from death into life. Most assuredly, I say to you, the hour is coming and now is, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself, and has given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Thank you, Father. The hard thing to do is, you see, that doesn't look like my Bible. That's why but you see, that's not that hard, because my phone now is more of my Bible often than this Bible. And I'll be walking, studying the scripture in my phone and going to the Strong's Concordance. And then I'll go to my Bible and it doesn't look like my phone. So that's how we are, you know, because we're making connection. And heaven is all about holding a place of connection, so that life can flow where death is reigned. So Jesus is saying that there's coming an hour, and this is the resurrection life of awakening. Most of the time when you read the word raised, it talks about rising up, awakening. It's a broad spectrum word. And it certainly is larger than the dead shall be raised. In fact, it goes on to say there's coming a day in the next few verses that the dead, those in the grave, will hear his voice and rise. So there's a rising of the dead that aren't in graves, and there's a rising of that resurrection of the dead on the last day. But what activates resurrection is the voice of God. The voice of God releases the glory of God. The glory of God is resurrection life. The voice of God releases the life of God, or the glory of God. The voice of God releases the glory of God. The glory of God is resurrection life. I want to take you to John 11, because here is a story, and I don't know what verses we'll read, so help me, Kim, you just follow with me. We'll start in verse 1, chapter 11, John. It's a very dear chapter to me, but it's something that I believe will help you and I to just yield. If I learn anything in life, God doesn't need my help, but he does want me to yield to him and to acknowledge his sovereignty, his goodness, his lordship, his resurrection, his life. And the oftentimes the hardest is to make that tact in the context. Shouldn't be using big words. In the context of my circumstances. Yeah. See, God is the same every day. And we want to say he's good every day, so show up and do something good for me. But he's good even when your day's bad.
Yeah, that's right.
And whenever things are unraveling, it doesn't matter. So, now, a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary, and her sister Martha. It was Mary who anointed the Lord with fragrant oil and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore, the sisters sent to him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick. And when Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. There's a volumes in this chapter. First off, the message that is sent. Jesus is no longer in Jerusalem. He's a few months away from his crucifixion, and there is intense warfare. In fact, he left Jerusalem because they tried to stone him in chapter 10. So now he's down in the Jordan by Jericho, where John was baptizing, and he's just conducting his meetings and moving, living from there. So they send word down from Jerusalem and said, your friend Lazarus, whom you love. And that word is friend. It's the phileo. It's that special place of fondness, that you, one who is fond. And Lazarus was a friend of God, friend of Jesus. Bethany is about, 2 miles. It's 2 miles from Jerusalem. And it was just up the Mount of Olives, and you drop down, and there you were in Bethany. And it was where Jesus spent all his time whenever he was in ministry or in Jerusalem, because it was a place of rest and refreshing and blessing. And he enjoyed himself there. He was cared for by Martha, fed, fussed over in his humanity. He was valued by Mary, listening intently, responding to the voice of his words. And Lazarus, we haven't seen him in the stories until now, and now he's sick. So Jesus makes a declaration that I'm sure was not just heard by the disciples, but probably the messengers. And he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that he might, that the Son of God may be glorified through it. So now it says that Jesus loved Martha, Mary, and Lazarus, and that word is the agapo. The agape, the one that is a choice held because heaven holds it. It's a coming into that love that God carries, and he stepped inside. And so he really had to restrain himself in his humanity, in his fondness, in his delight. He could have most likely got up there and healed him. And so here's the deal. We pray to God. We walk with God. We enjoy movement with him. We walk in partnership with him, in concert with him. We have dreams and plans and purposes. We have access. We have pleasure in his presence. And then some point in time, something goes, boom, and sickness steps in. Something, disease, infirmity, weakness, feebleness. And we cry out for healing. We want to be well. We want to be made whole, strengthen me. Let's access that place through our relationship. And not always does Jesus answer on our timetable. Have you noticed that? How dare him not answer me when I ask him to do something at a set time? He should know. I know what is the glory of God. I know where God will get. I mean, I've said that to hundreds of times. Lord, you missed a great opportunity. You could have done something here, then we could have done something there, and the heavens would have opened the door for many, many more things. He doesn't listen. Why should he? He listens to Father, and he still follows Father's advice. And he still moves in concert, and Holy Spirit is in concert with him. And so it's just a real... But in his humanity, he was holding a place. So what happens is he waits 2 days. Says he stayed 2 more days. And I trust me, this was a man, our Lord, holding himself by his Spirit. And then the Father says, go. So he says to his disciples, we're going to go up to Jerusalem. And they said, well, everybody's trying to kill you there. And he said, yeah. But if you walk in the light, then light will always be there. And it's the time to go. And our friend Lazarus is sick. Or he's sleeping. And they go, well, if he's asleep, then he'll wake him up. He'll wake up. He'll get better. That's a good sign. And I love the way the Lord, even in his humanity, did not like to give glory to death. He used that word as his way in which he could interrupt it, just like you could interrupt somebody sleeping. So Lazarus, he says, no, Lazarus is dead. And I'm glad for your sake that we weren't there because, you know, the whole group, I mean, it's all of us. We're traveling with someone who carries resurrection life and lives under a whole different auspices than our humanity and does not live from the soul or the flesh, but lives from spirit. He's not someone easily to follow. And he's saying, this is really going to be good for you. Thomas, who is just like martyrdom, you know, in our flesh, says, let's all go up there and die together. I mean, that's where I don't know about you, but that's often, okay, well, if he's going to die, let's just all die. Let's just do a noble death. Jesus arrives, and he's been in the tomb now for 4 days. So he's died, buried within 24 hours. So he's been in the tomb 4 days. Maximum, he's dead for 5 days, but he's there in the tomb. Martha meets him and says he's in very strong words. Verse 20. It says, Martha, as soon as she heard Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary was sitting in the house. Now Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. The picture guy was showing me this morning, and for those of you, and we have so many friends that have traveled far, is prayer and intercession has the potential to convolute and collapse upon itself. Prayer upon prayer upon prayer, trying to direct, correct, course, fix, resolve, heal, help, often starts to collapse upon itself. And I don't mean that it's collapsing upon itself in that it is of no consequence, heaven's not responding, heaven's heart does not move. It's just that we are in a pickle and we're in a dilemma and we don't know how to, we're just praying upon prayers. We're praying, you know, I had this dream and this prayer, now this dream has turned into a nightmare, so now I've changed my prayer to try to get my nightmare back to my dream. And so it's just convoluting, it's collapsing upon itself. Prayer itself does not do anything. What does that something is the voice of God. Yeah. Only hearing Jesus is where life comes. Prayer is the best thing we do to get there. And we have to find much freedom in dialogue. And that's why conversational prayer often is one of the ways we heal the best. Because we can just kind of talk with the Lord and explain the journey we just walked out and how confused we are. And when we feel the liberty to do that, we can really get free fast. It's when you feel like God's going to be mad at you because you weren't in faith the whole time. That's so stupid. But it's very easy to feel that way because somehow God is expecting me to rise to some level of, you know, equality by my actions of my will and my workings and my flesh and my strength. And so I'm resourcing flesh, I'm resourcing will, resourcing self, and all I'm doing is fumbling and falling and getting under greater condemnation and greater fear and greater anxiousness. And so then I want to go hide and just give me a break so I can get my fig leaves back in place. And that's not what Jesus needs. He doesn't need it. So, but her prayer is convoluting and yet and very accusative. If you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died. Thank God we have that recorded because we can pray the same prayer. Jesus says, your brother will rise again. Now this is now watch this conversation. She says, yeah, I know he will rise again in the resurrection from at the last day. We're having a voice encounter. and he and the voice is, this is the voice. We're not ready to hear. We there's too much grief and sorrow right now. There's too much death to just go, yeah, let's do it. See, that's what Jesus came to do. But she now hears that and tries to process, and she says, yeah, I know he will rise again in the last day at the resurrection. So she's taking a promise and putting it to the future, to an event. And he's the person of promise wanting to interrupt her current event. See, all you need is faith today. You don't need faith. There is no faith for tomorrow. Faith is now. Therefore, faith cannot be for tomorrow. Hope is for tomorrow. We need faith today and hope for the future. You don't need to. You see, we hear the voice of God and we think, well, oh gosh, if I go that way, if I say yes, then, oh, how am I going to sustain it tomorrow? You don't have to worry about that. That's Daddy's problem. He has to come and talk to you tomorrow, and it'll continue. And he will talk to us. And that's why today, if you hear his voice, we don't harden our heart. It's not about if tomorrow you hear his voice. It's about today. The possibility of resurrection life and glory of God is always today. So Jesus has to say, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? Okay, so you see what he's doing? This is your Jesus. And this is the one who will delay his coming to you and me so that he might be more glorified in his coming at a later date. Which is so good. Because this isn't for us to look good or to feel good. It's for him to be looking good and feeling wonderful. And we do when he does. But just a combo. You see the prayers kind of collapsing? You see, it's like if you were to stop and say, yeah, I had an encounter with Jesus and he talked about resurrection and he's talking about he is. And well, this is how she sums it up. She says, yes, Lord, I believe you are the Christ, the Son of God, who has come into the world. I think that was a really honest now point of agreement. A beautiful point of agreement. I believe you are the Son of God. You have come into the world. So I am in a present connection, not a future connection. I'm in a present moment. I can connect to you, have been anointed one. Do you understand that you have to? So many times we're stuck on, if you had been there, this wouldn't have happened. So when he finally gets here, we have too many problems with the past to hear the present. So we can't be healed or delivered or because we're still got questions that need resolution. Daddy doesn't, you don't need your questions answered. You just need Jesus to be experienced. Every experience of Jesus will swallow up every question in your life. It just... So she goes and she sends for her sister. And she went to her and secretly called Mary and said, the teacher has come and is calling you. Sorry, I jumped two steps. Now we're on 11:29. As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly, this is Mary, and came to him. Now Jesus had not come into the town, but was in the place where Martha met him. And the Jews who were with her in the house, comforting her, when they saw that Mary rose up quickly, went out and followed her, saying, she's going to the tomb to weep there. Assumption. Therefore, when Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. So let me say this to you, beloved people. Whether you're a worshiper or a worker, your grief is grief. And loss is loss, and the accusation will stay the same. The only difference between Mary and Martha is Martha's probably standing like this, and Mary's just a puddle on the floor. But the accusation, identical prayer, if you'd have been here, my brother would not have died. See, Martha had tried to use her faith. Even now, I know whatever you ask. That's right. And then he said, okay, your brother will rise. Okay, let's start that over again. I know there's a resurrection coming, but I need help now. Okay, I am the resurrection and the life. All right, fine. I got it. You're the Messiah. You see, there's just so much life. There's so much life coming to invade the planet into the body first. We are the dead Lazarus and the Marthas and the Marys and the convoluted group. So therefore, when Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who came with her weeping, he's saying, did you skip a verse? We're going to have a great relationship. Whoever's on that, we're going to start. You're my Bible flipper. I am like, okay, when Mary came where Jesus was, she saw him, she fell at his feet. Lord, yeah, no, you hadn't. My fault. Apologies. Therefore, when... I feel like the weatherman reading the script. All I need is a green screen before me. Okay, so therefore, when Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who came with her weeping, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. And that this now is an intercessory holding spirit connection in the midst of massive sympathetic movement. Nothing wrong with sympathetic movement, but it is of humanity and humanity accessing. It's just, he's going... He's stepping, and he says to her, where have you laid him? And he said to him, Lord, come and see. So now they're in a movement. Jesus wept. That's the shortest verse in the entire Bible. I know that because we used to, in discipline, in the first ministry, we'd have to write scriptures if we missed our chores or something. And so everybody knew where this verse was. Jesus wept. But his humanity's being, you know, do you understand? This is your beautiful Lord. He's touched with the feeling of our infirmities. He knows how hard it's been for each and every one to walk with him and to let him be Lord over everything and not respond as we desire when he chooses it's time to hold his place, when we want him to move for us. He knows that. He feels that. He's going, whoa. He's not angry, frustrated. He's really in a deep movement of Father, and he weeps. And they said, oh, see how he loved him. And that, again, now is the word phileo. What a friend. And so it says, could not this man, now this is the multitude of people, could not this man have, who opened the eyes of the blind, also kept, do you understand? You see the whole point? The whole point is we're trying to keep things from happening. Come on. Come on. This is the gospel of resurrection, not preservation. We are a people of the cross, not of control. Come on, come on, come on. We live a whole bunch of control and call it love. And then when God doesn't follow our control and interrupts, I mean, do you understand? It's just huge. We're running out of time. And the best is yet to come. Oh, Jesus, I love you. I love this chapter. All right, so then Jesus again groaning in himself. Do you understand there is such a conflict going on? There's such a connection. This is deep. This is deep, beloved. Because you and I are called to live the life that Jesus walked on the planet in the resurrected form of the second Adam, of the last Adam, of the life-giving spirit. We're supposed to be spiritual, no longer soulish. Our soul is going to the cross every single day. When he says, lay down your life, when he says, lose your life, when he says, you're going to suffer your death, that's all about your suitcases. Yeah. It's Think about that. Suke psychology. Yeah. And you're going to carry, and you're going to have to go, I'm laying down my opinions, laying down my feelings, laying down my agendas, laying down my thoughts, laying down what I want, what I didn't want, what I had, what I thought, laying it down. Oh, well, Jesus, you are weird, hard to walk with, but you're real. And you have words of life, so here we go. Lay it down. And then live from the Spirit. Now, we have to learn to do that. That's our assignment while we live here. Come away with me, my beloved. Quiet yourself into my Spirit. Enter into the depth of me. Learn to let me and you be one in the presence that I give life from to the dead, and I call things that don't exist, and let me activate hope where hope has now gone dead, and let me I don't want any denial. Don't try to go back to Jack Lane and go to the gym and get some Viagra to go, you can help me have a baby. I don't need your help. Good thing there was no Viagra back in Abraham's day. But do you understand? Did I just say that? Kim, you put that on the screen. I just was reading that. I'm sorry. No. You see, because in Romans 4, the whole story is about him being in the presence of him whom he believes. It does not come by the works of the law. It does not come by the effect of your process. It's just being in him, letting him talk to you, affect your vision, your emotions, your thoughts to the point where hope comes back alive. There should not be any hope here because now your hope, the resource you have is less than you started with. You're older than you began. Your wife's always had a dead womb, but now you don't know if you can respond. That's what he says. He says, deal with yourself. Don't deny you've got a dead body. And don't deny your wife's got a dead womb. Do you understand? I mean, you guys are just, we're so religious. We're so like God is like, doesn't know you have a, you know. Come on. But that is our place. That is our place. That is our place. Do you see, when you get in the soul or you get in the flesh, which is the place we grew up in, we were awakened as a child hungry, and we began to respond to a soul-to-soul activation. And so we grew up as a fleshly child with a soul until our spirit came alive. And now we are trying to learn out to live from that place in the spirit. And it takes just being with him. And Jesus was just pulled in that place. And so are you. And so are you called to. So are you. Let it go. He had to say that. Father, I just forgive Thomas. That was the stupidest thing I've heard him say so far. Just let it go. It's no problem. No problem. I'm not going to take the accusation. Isn't that funny how when God doesn't do what you want, it's always something wrong? Yeah. Instead of you going, you know, I have a real problem with what just happened. So, wow. No, it's something wrong just happened. It shouldn't have happened. That's why I feel so bad. This shouldn't have happened. If it had happened the way I wanted it to happen, I wouldn't feel bad. So this must be wrong. Do you understand how we process, and it's your soul going dead. Boom, boom, boom. So anyway, moving on. Praise you, Jesus. We're in that place. We're growing up there. And here, so Jesus says, help me out, Kim. Oh, you're so good. God bless Kim. He's a Bible flipper. We bless you, Kim. He's fast. He's really fast. Take away the stone, Jesus says. Martha said, he who was dead, said to him, Lord, by this time there's a stench, for he has been dead 4 days. She's the practical one. And Jesus is coming to stinky places now. Stinky places. And he's at the tomb. He says, now roll away the stone. And Jesus says to her, did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? So all he's asking for you and me today is to believe. If you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. Believe. Believe. Where does he want access? To where death is resting. Where loss has taken the greatest toll. Where grief has swallowed your soul up. Where you have had to lay dreams, hopes, plans, families, everything. Roll it away. No, I'm not ready for that. I don't want to go through that. I don't like the smell of that. I can't handle that. This is worse than if you'd have healed it, we could have resolved it. But now it went way past the healing point. There is no healing to this thing now. And he goes, I know. All we have in the future is resurrection. Aren't you glad God isn't going to heal your body and take you to heaven? Do you really want to take the body you currently have to heaven? He's a resurrection God, and a resurrection life affects more than just the resurrection from the dead at that appointed hour at the trumpet. It's affecting all of life right now. So then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and he said, Father, I thank you that you've heard me. I know that you always hear me. But because of the people who are standing by, I said this that they may believe that you sent me. That prayer was for us. That was a prayer that we could overhear, the prayer life of the fashion in which Jesus walked with Daddy in a presence and in a communion and a conversation, in a flow, in a grow. He was just going, Daddy, I'm so glad you always hear me. Now when he said these things, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. I think I said this on Wednesday. I have been in more prayer meetings when we all started shouting, Lazarus, come forth. And the truth is, not a soul there was saying that. Martha's just freaking out. My neighbors, my friends, they are so going to just talk about this for a long time. This is the most embarrassing moment of my life. Oh, gosh, it was hard enough to get over the Jesus entourage that came over all the time. But now, they're going to talk about this. And Mary's just, The group's sitting there going, this guy's going too far. We're going to have, there's just tension. And he's come forth. And he who had died came out bound, hand and foot with grave clothes. Face was wrapped with a cloth. And Jesus said, loose him and let him go. Then many of the Jews who had come to Mary and had seen the things Jesus did believed in him. But some of them went away to tell the Pharisees, of course. Wow, Jesus, the resurrection life that's for you, for me, for us, for this season, for California, is something that's coming to the dead places. Resurrection needs death. That's the problem about resurrection life. It needs death. Resurrection life doesn't work on healing. Healing's healing. It's got to have the component of death. And so therefore, for the glory that Jesus might be glorified through certain things, he permits that process to come to that conclusion in our life. And we look at it and go, sickness was bad enough, but it led to my death, and the death is now hard, and I'm now in total confusion. I'm trying to have a relationship, have a conversation. It's really difficult. I am still agreeing that you are Messiah. Beloved, some of us sometimes just have to have that simple, I still believe you're Jesus. I still believe you're the Savior. I don't care what's going on and what I'm doing or not doing or what's happening, you're still Jesus. And there's something really solid about that. Jesus will keep moving when it's resurrection time. So, stand up, please. Kim, you've done an awesome job. Thank you. I'm glad we got to batter back and forth today. Lord, I love you. We love you. We delight in you. We enjoy you more than anything in the earth. You are more beautiful and wonderful. All our thoughts and crazy ideas, they need to go to the cross. We have offenses and hurts, and we have disappointment. We've had grief and sorrow, loss. We've lived with it now. Some of us have not walked through these kinds of moments in a 3, 4, 5 day cycle. Some of us have endured them for 3, 4, 5 years, 3, 2, 3 decades. Lord, the difference between this and Moses is just time and space, of what it took you to allow Moses to be reawakened and come back into resurrection. Resurrection life, the glory of God, is activated by believing on Him who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. When we begin afresh to believe on the Father's grand, glorious, wonderful plan of provision of His Son, Jesus Christ. And when we allow that process of being conformed in any setting to His death, then faith can rise and hope can come alive. Our dead bodies, dead wombs, don't matter. It all again becomes, I am persuaded that He is able to perform what He promised. So whatever He promised, He can still perform, even though it can totally now have to be out of the context I first heard it. You've got to let the Lord have right to His promise in you. It has to die. It's a seed. A seed is a sperm. It has to lose its place. Die. Then it can be given a body, not the seed that was sown into the ground that was a mere grain, but now it becomes a body of His choosing. It's a resurrection body. It's totally uniquely connected, but it is totally different from the place that you started it from. So, Lord, You are, oh, Jesus. This is a big thought, and I know that, but just would You open Your spirit, man, and let the... Say this with me. Say, Lord, I believe... You are the Messiah. You are the Lord who came into the earth and died and was raised from the dead, ascended on high, seated next to the Father, my high priest of my confession. You, Lord, are my Lord. Praise You, Father, that You are able to multiply this event in this person who is resurrection, who is life, who is the last Adam, who is the life-giving spirit, who is born of heaven in me and through me for Your glory, for Your glory, that Jesus be glorified through the event of a resurrection in my life, through my life. So I worship You now to come into union, in communion, in oneness, in fellowship, in with You. I am not trying to get to the other side too fast. Power of resurrection is preceded with the fellowship with Your sufferings, the conformity to Your death. So, Lord God, I will allow You to talk to me here in my death and say, live. Give life to my dead. And call those things that don't exist as though they already do. And to be in union with You, in fellowship with You, in oneness in Your spirit, knowing that the events coming is up to You. It's up to You. You can do all things. I believe that. I believe You can fulfill Your promises. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Receive it. Receive it. Receive it. It's the glory of God is the resurrection life. It comes by believing, hearing his voice. Let him speak. This practice is what God calls righteousness. This practice, beholding him, being in his presence, hearing his voice, letting him contradict your entire soul, circumstance, posture with absurd revelatory expressions of life and substance. Being, presenting yourself before him as you are in your absolute dismal, feeble, infirm state, but not becoming staggering, backing out of the experience with God, and disconnecting from the word of God through unbelief, but instead glorifying God. This is all happens in prayer. This all happens with you, with the meditation of your heart before him. And while you're experiencing this moment of I agree, you are so great. You are so great. Jesus, you're so great. Come on. I'm coming out of my limited idea. I just needed you to be here at this moment, and you should have done that. Who gives a rip? You just be Jesus. I don't need you to do it the way I want you to do it. I don't want you to do it the way I want you to do it. If I know anything, you won't do it the way I want you to do it. So have it your way. Have it your way. You're able, able, able. And something starts growing inside of you. It's called confidence. It's called assurance. It's called persuasion. It's called becoming convinced, until something inside of you starts saying he can do whatever he said he would do, however he wants to do it, and anytime he will do it, he can do what he said he will do. He's able. He's able. He's able. Whoa. And that, my friends, God says, righteousness. My friend is righteousness. Shabbatikaba. And not just for Abraham, and not just for Martha, not for Mary, not for Lazarus, not for all who've gone before you, but for you, for me. It will be imputed to us who believe on him, Father God, who raised Jesus from the dead, who was delivered up because of our offenses, and was raised because of our justification. Come on. Come on. This is where you step in. Beloved, you are people who are to carry something. You cannot carry it circumstantially. Carry it eternally. Shabbat. Father God, seal and secure. Settle and release. You're bringing forth a people. You keep talking about a people you're bringing forth, like the Lazarus of this last days. The ones who did not want to die but were placed in a path of death. And having been dead, grief ensued and families fell apart. But at the appointed time, you had already been set appointed time, but it was not our time. You came to come, to deliver, to resurrect. And those kinds of demonstrations, Jesus Christ will be seen in the earth again. Not just physical resurrections, but people coming alive again. Amen. People who came under such weight of grief and sorrow, of shame and reproach and failure and sense of confusion, walking around with a big fat grin like they're just got little kids again, living and loving and enjoying Jesus. Jesus, we release you from all the prayers we prayed that demanded you to act in a way we wanted you to act, which you didn't act in. We say, it does not matter. We let it go. Now have your way. Glorify your name. Fulfill your promises. Complete the good work you began. Be magnified in the earth again. Reveal the kindness and mercies that you carry in your own heart toward humanity. Live big and large in our life again. We lift off. We are not responsible for helping others interpret what you're doing or help you do what you have to do or be good enough for you to do it. None of that is ours. It is life from the dead that you bring. Lord, I bless you, and I ask you to seal the hearts. There's wounded hearts. There's stones that are rolling away. We are timidly rolling stones away. We are not in any come see the deadness in my life. We're timidly, under your auspices, opening hearts that may or may not be able to really open large in a short moment. But we want to hear your voice. You said that when the dead hear your voice, they will live. I ask you to open our ears to hear, our eyes to see, and our heart to understand. And I ask you for faith to be given through the voice of God for today. For today. And that hope would spring forth for tomorrow. And that love would pour into our very being by Holy Spirit. And may we walk as your sons and daughters, liberated, liberators. For your planet and for your people and for the world you love. In Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. Bless you. Thank you.